But it's good you.
I'm calling the council meeting to order. You have an agenda. Are there any changes? I have an addition to 17.2, an in-camera item, contract negotiations. Are there any additions, deletions from the agenda, with the exception of that one? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve it as amended. It's moved by Councillor McLeod and seconded by Councillor Fisk. All in favour? Thank you. The RCMP report, I guess we're not getting it. It's in the package. I don't know if there's any. They must have got held up. So we can come back to that with your acquiescence. And that brings us then to the Queens County Skateboard Park Association presentation. So David and Ian, if you'd like to come forward, the floor is yours. Would you give that, Richard?
Yep.
Would you mind giving that to the council and getting them passed along from our own themselves?
Oh,
870,
that's fine. What'd
you
say?
Are we online with this?
You
never let me do
that. You afraid he's going to throw something at you,
gun?
Yeah.
You could never be too safe.
Hey, what a skateboard park.
That's okay.
That's my
it'll
dream.
It'll give them a...
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that, guys. Up there, it looks great.
Yeah, there you
all right.
Go.
So thanks for having us back. We were asked to come and give a little report as to where we were with things, and this is it. The first couple slides, just this is a, I think my wife made that frame one day in about 10 minutes for an event we had downtown. It's tacked up in the backyard. It flew over a lot. And this little crew of kids, I put this slide in. It's the old Milton School. This was approximately the time we started our association. And so Ian and my little boys were primary out there, and my little girl, I don't know why she was there. She was just hanging out, I guess. But this is about 4 years ago.
Big grade threes now.
Yeah, yeah. So our early vision when we started was to build a world-class, now that's always, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but a really good skate park, specifically made out of concrete. And this was something around that time that I was learning about. The difference between the different parks, and these have become over time the standard for all parks, and no one really purposely builds anything other than a concrete park because of their longevity and their quality. But and along the way, we've certainly referenced Chester's project a lot. Theirs is actually 14,500 square feet, and I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago they built theirs, and it's been a huge success for them. And we've kind of modeled a lot of what we're hoping for on their part.
David, would you want to speak up just a little bit?
Oh, sure.
You probably won't hear it over
sure.
The gallery.
Sure, sure. We started with an estimate to build that park, a park that would at least match Chester's and hopefully surpass it, based on a $50 per square foot estimate that I got from various skate park designers. And going into this little presentation, that was a very cautious estimate, and in fact actually I was afraid that over 4 years it wouldn't still apply. I actually have been told that we'll do better than that. We can probably actually get more square footage out of that, which is a good thing. Our association's goal at that time was to raise $115,000 as our portion of that, and I've got some percentages coming ahead. And always our hope was just to facilitate this process, and the park would only really function. These are always meant to be owned and run by the region, and that was all we wanted, was to kind of convince you guys it might be a good idea and help it happen. So our first ever meeting, which was actually at Queen's General, October the 19th, 2011. From there we had a little initiative that the health board helped us out with, and we got some money and we bought a whole bunch of helmets. This is one of them. And at the beginning we really just had a bunch of helmets and this sticker. We were very fortunate. One of our members, Demetrius Elpesos, designed that. Talented guy, and for a while we were pretty much a sticker and some helmets.
some excited kids.
So we did do the paperwork, which was painful when we became incorporated. We presented to the outgoing council of Mayor Leafs. July 16th, 2012 was received positively, but we pretty much came back in November and did it again. When Mayor Clark took over, and received amazing support right from the get-go. We, from our association, want to thank Mayor Clark and all of you here for supporting us. Really, without that, that was the turning point. That $200,000 made this a legitimate project, and everything started to flow from there.
How could we say no with a room full of school kids?
Yeah, well, we had nothing to do with that. and of course, the piece of land over at Queen's Place. There was a bit of, question. Originally, I had kind of envisioned this being in our downtown, and in the end, I'm really happy with this site. There's a bunch of really good reasons for this being there. And when you talk about the benefits of the Amaris Center, this will be another added benefit, and a really low maintenance one at that. So you probably will enjoy that as just one more positive part of that area. And so this relationship we've had with the region for the last 4 years has been key. This is my attempt at making a pie chart. It's not very sophisticated, but this was our original hope. This was we'd gotten these numbers from looking at different projects, and I can't reference anything specifically, but this was the way we hoped things would go. And as in life, it doesn't always go that way. But on a positive note, our municipal support is quite close, actually, to what we were hoping for. And our own community fundraising, we've around tripled what we originally thought we would be able to raise. And we did this through lots of different ways. Lots of little events, some parties, some art, and also some very fortunate donations from private people in the community. We tried to make our presence felt. Just when people started to go, "Where are you guys?" we tried to pop up.
A nod to the youth that we've been working with over the last 4 years as well. Like every time that we've needed to have a presence, it didn't matter if it was the Privateers Day Commission or if it was any type of event where the Queens County Skate Park Association needed to be present and visible for the community to see us, whether it was collecting donations or being there visibly for it. The youth in our community have stepped up, and the families associated with this project have always made sure that there's been a presence and a very very visible support for the Queens Skate Park.
For sure. Always lots of excitement when the kids are there, So just briefly, the numbers get confusing. My original $750,000, that number is based just on concrete, just on skatable surface, and I've tried to keep that number pure, because when you add in land or other structures or anything else, it starts to muddy what we're talking about. And as an association, we've tried to stay focused on that, because we know that once it's built, the odds of adding anything to that skatable surface, who knows. And so that's where that number came from. And if we held to that old price and what we were hoping for, these are the percentages as of now. And I guess the glaring thing is, as of yet, we have not managed to get any money from higher government, but we still remain hopeful. So it's time. The whole purpose of us being here today is it is time to move forward. We agree that it's time to start designing this park and get it built. And I just stole this off the internet. That's a lovely one. But it gives you an idea. Those are bowl areas, the things that look like drained pools. The rails and the steps and everything off to the side are the things that people with businesses will be happy that they've got their own rails and steps to use. And that's a lovely park. But if we didn't raise a single cent beyond what we have today, what we should be able to build is at a minimum a 10,000 square foot park, and probably more like a 12,500 square foot park. I can't say for sure, and I don't want to oversell it, but 10,000 should be a minimum, which is an excellent size park for a population our size. It's a win. I mean, that's a great park. When I talk to companies that build these things, they're blown away that we have this kind of funding for our area. The 550, once again, confuse you further, that's 530 plus 20. 530 is what we have for concrete. The 20 is just that we recently received a donation of a gazebo, a covered spectator area, which for a lot of people, they'll really like that, they'll really enjoy it, it'll add a lot of value to this, but I don't want that to touch the square footage. So that's where the 550 comes from. That's the land is not added into that price.
And we're brushing over it here. The federal and provincial contributions that we came in heavy with, I mean, government contributions to these projects are very important, just like the municipality coming behind our project to give us the leverage and the momentum that we needed to get started. We find that it's the provincial and federal piece, and we've applied for grants over the last number of years through through the municipality, through the recreation department. If you're not in your build year, they won't even look at it. And so you folks know this, and so we're queued up, and in our association's kind of perspective, we're positioned very, very well to see with the changing of the guard here federally and the movement towards health initiatives, youth initiatives, that we think we're positioned very well to see federal contribution in our build year. So this is a very important piece, not to think that it could, but to really, we're really confident that it'll come through for us.
Yeah, I think we're ready to move forward, but with the hope that something happens as we go along. And I've talked to the designers about this. It would not be the end of the world. It would not be a costly thing if the design changed as we went through the process. As of now, 10% is a very heavy estimate at the engineering and design portion, and probably more like 8%. That we have that money in the bank, we can hire a designer and start working on it. It's usually a process that happens with the company, the association, the region, and then hopefully lots of youth representation that comes in. And for those of you that have copies of this, these numbers actually add up to 530. It was a late night when I made that. Our timeline, winter 2016, that's after we all get back from Christmas. I hope we can start to move forward and start finding someone to design this park. And there's only a handful of companies in North America that do this, and very important point to us the whole way through, it would be disastrous to not hire one of those experienced companies. It would make absolutely no sense. The design process I just mentioned, and then hopefully, so we can stay on track, we'll be able to start hiring contractors. And once again, there are contractors who have specific skills and experience in that in the fall. The spring.
Do you put that in for CAD or use?
Separately, we hope.
Yeah.
Design.
With the provincial and the federal, if they contribute, say they like to see it tendered out, that
right.
Means that they have the best dollar.
That's a question for the region staff, I believe.
Yeah.
As this starts
yes,
to go forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it looks, you're not just giving it one.
Oh, no. There is a handful, and they should absolutely all have a crack at it,
yeah.
But it's just we got to make sure that we're asking the right people. Yes. Yeah, sure.
When you say your design, you're looking at probably $8,000 to $10,000 just for the design. And when you're looking at it, you say, okay, we're hoping that maybe something like federally or some other monies may come forward.
Yeah.
Then your design's going to change.
Yes.
Right? So your design is not going to be open as when the person does it. You're going to say, okay, we got it here, but
yeah.
We do.
Well, as I kind of alluded to, I mean, sure, I'm sure that it would not be without any cost, but it's not a disastrous thing. And to me, oh my God, if we did come into a little money. I guess the reason why I see it this way is that once these things are built, they're slabs of concrete that remain for decades. They have almost zero maintenance, and this has always been my push, is that for something like $100,000, you can transform something from a village skate park into a destination skate park, something that people travel to. And so even though it already seems like an absurd amount of money for rolling around on wheels, if you can just push it that next little bit, once it's built, it's built.
And there's levels, you know, yeah. So there's a component to the park. So we always talk to our youth and to the skate crew here, which I'm not a part of, about the, you know, the bowls and the flow and then the street zone and the different areas that the park has to have. There's also all kinds of component, like a longboard snake and all kinds of pieces. So you can think of it almost as like wings that you're built, you know what I mean, or sections. So with this footprint, we've designed this park. And now, we just saw a $20,000 contribution or a $15,000 contribution. Ta-da! Now we have this added bonus element to the snake around the outside of the park that's just increased that park. But it's not necessarily saying, we're going to have to erase that out.
You can add on to them for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually getting very close to the end here, and this quote, I couldn't decide if I should put this quote in or not, but I went for it, even though I can't say this guy's name. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi is the best I can do. And to go into what you were asking about, or why would we even be so concerned about that, it's about challenges. The whole point of these parks for our youth is, let me just read it, I guess. A community should be judged good not because it's technologically advanced or swimming in material riches. It is good if it offers people a chance to enjoy as many aspects of their lives as possible while allowing them to develop their potential in the pursuit of ever greater challenges. And this fella is in his 80s now. He's a psychologist. He's kind of world famous for study of happiness and flow and all these things, these ideas of what makes a happy community, what makes a happy person. And his comments about pursuit of greater challenges, that's the whole point of skateboarding. That's the whole point for these kids, is if you create something that has got potential over the years for them to keep getting better and learning and challenging themselves, any kid who has the means to roll down there on his $100 skateboard that he could have for years and years will have this thing to work on, and it's where a lot of pleasure and self-confidence and these things come from. And so if we can give them something, we already have, by the way, this park we're going to build is already great. But I'm still pushing. And I think I've really covered most of this as well as Ian. So.
Dave, when you're talking about kids and challenges, I think this is the only sport that I am aware of that a person continues to try to improve and do it. Like, they never give up. It's like
if
you play basketball or sports, those other types of sports. But this is something they really want to accomplish, and it's, I got to do it.
For themselves.
Determination.
Yeah.
And you don't need a coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you don't need a $150 an hour ice. Yep. And you don't need, different things.
Yep.
And it's a very different shift in terms of sport and activity, but it's a big thing for our creative economy.
And it ends up being a competitive sport.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Talking about competitive sport, will there ever be the opportunity to have world events here?
Maybe not world, but contests for sure.
Contest.
They do in Chester already. The parks are mushrooming up all over the community. So,
for example, Chester, when they have their contests, how many would get involved roughly?
I couldn't give you numbers. They're sponsored. They typically have businesses come and set up. There's usually food. There's sometimes, you know, a big weekend event.
It's unanimous throughout the business community of that strip by Chester. Over the last 4 years, I don't think any of those folks, and they'll be very honest at the start, including the recreation department, they went into that exploring, just like a lot of municipalities, kind of thinking about the negatives that could come from that type of development.
So you're saying it's a great spin-off.
It's huge economic spin-off.
The gas station
I would recommend that anybody chat with the business owners along. I taught down there for a few years while that was being developed. It's a huge economic benefit to the area.
Other questions or comments? Council Waterman.
I think it's great that two major adjustments financially and are getting your act together and going to build it, and it's a great thing. You know, you, you don't have to spend a lot of money to get into that sport, and the maintenance will not be no big strain on the tax burden, because the region will maintain it. And the policing end of it, how will you guys help out on that? Or?
Well, to be honest, this has been pretty well established. The way these things are run is they're free spaces. So it's no different than any open piece of town property.
A suggestion list of
exactly.
You know, bylaw requirements.
Bylaw
you rules, you know, but you don't see people.
Sign.
Yeah,
well, like
exactly.
Helmets and knee pads.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the smaller ones.
And you see that they're all kind of self-policed. They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The RCMP like them because they're easy to police. As far as any other part of the community, it's a bright, open, clear. It's pretty hard to hide, and so it's a preferable place for people to be hanging out. As far as actively having someone staff it, you absolutely don't want it. It changes the insurance standpoint. It changes a lot of things. So these are non-staffed, open pieces of town. It's a free park,
yeah.
Free space, and that's how they work. And then as far as vandalism and other things, typically policed by the people who use it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And like on the safety aspect of it also, with the smaller ones, you know, with the safety gear.
You have a list of recommendations? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And that would be, like anything in our community, would be led by our bylaw folks and our local RCMP. And we've had folks in those agencies working with our association the whole way through and are keenly in support of the project.
I mean,
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Traditionally, it's allowed to put a little more pressure on kids to actually wear helmets, because there's a big cultural thing in skateboarding not to wear one, and a carrot to make them wear one is to say you can't be in this park without your helmet. And most of these kids, there's still going to be some that won't, but it's something that if they get kicked out of that park and they love that park, the helmet's going to come out. So it gives it a little bit of leverage.
Make it cool to wear one.
It'll
right.
Probably never
we'll
be cool.
We'll put a sticker on it. Bees will put a sticker on it.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Deputy Mayor.
Not a question, just a comment. And I think you've done really well to get over 300,000 from the community for skate park. And you've worked really hard on it. And I look forward to seeing it.
Cheers, thank you.
You're going to skate on
it. Yes,
sir. I'm going to skateboard my old age. Skateboard service.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. Gillian.
Everything's welcome there.
Everything with wheels.
Yeah, you can't prevent it anyway. It is known that parks that have a lot of bike traffic in them, because they tend to have these metal pegs on them,
right,
do break down the park somewhat. But banning them rarely ever works. And so you try to encourage them not to have the pegs on their bikes,
yeah,
and otherwise you let everybody come.
Yeah,
little
scooters,
kids,
bikes,
scooters,
inline skates,
yeah,
skateboards, all of it. It's what makes it a kind of creative.
Rollator walkers.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah,
you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wheelchairs.
For everyone, Mr.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited because when we first made the decision to support you, it was a big step. I mean, it was huge. There's a lot of money for us. And it's been exciting to work with you, and it's been a partnership. I've been canvassing with David, not very successfully, I might add. But
yeah, we did all right.
But we did okay. They've been working with the region, and as we go forward now, it's going to be a partnership again. And Richard, do you want to touch on how you see going forward?
Sure. So this is awesome news. We're going to move this project forward. What staff will do is, and Brad and I and Jennifer have met with the group. So the next steps are, you know, we need to sort out getting that money that they've raised and moving it into a design solicitation. We're all ready to do this, so we'll bring back a wee report to council to get those things in place, but we're able to start putting things in motion to start that design work and move into construction. So it's great news.
And we'll help you with the federal and provincial asks too. I do know that the new MP is planning on coming around in January,
we will add this to our list of things that we
she's want aware
to keep in front of
her.
Yeah, she's definitely aware of the project.
And we will also be pleased to work with the province. Though given the news yesterday coming out of the province, I'm not...
You can borrow our pie charts, if that helps.
We'll use your pie
chart.
Susan, yes,
I just have a question about the money that you have. Is it your portion, is it all actual money that you have, or is it pledged towards
yeah,
the budget?
I mean, really the in-kind donation, the biggest one is from the region. Mm-hmm. The biggest private cash donation we have, which is anonymous, is a cash donation. And then most of it is just smaller cash.
Similar
donations.
Pledges to the hospital, the way the hospital was done. We used the very
so
the region
building,
components.
Then you get the actual cash on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only other in-kind donation is the gazebo. So, I do have one thing I thought I should add at the end, or request, is that it's not totally clear yet our role as association as we go forward. Our single biggest concern is helping out with the design and the follow-through as far as making this thing, because it is such an odd, specific thing.
Clearly, we haven't skateboarded in 25 years.
Right.
Yes.
So
we'll be using your subject matter.
We want to be along for the ride to advise.
We
on
have
that,
people
so.
For the job.
Yeah.
We have people for the job. Yeah.
It shouldn't be covered in grass. That's
But it's going to be working together from here. Obviously, Brad's going to play a lead role, and that's going to be exciting.
If I could, Mayor Clark, I'll just echo your statements there. This was a huge effort for everybody involved, and we just want to say as an association, the day that we secured our relationship with the Region of Queens and when we worked out the ability to do our funding and our contributions through the region office, and when we had our mayor lobbying for our project, there was no way that this couldn't be a success. And so we hope that other projects, we've heard of a few coming down the pipe, you guys have the way you supported our project, if you get behind the next things coming in the same way, Region of Queens is going to have lots of success in this area.
Thank you. Just in case, and I say this really for the media, because 2 years is a long, 3 years since we first made the decision, a long time. We don't have a lot of $200,000 in our back pocket. This money came from the sale of land at Queens Place. And the policy of the region is that money that is raised by the sale of land over there be used to improve that whole Queens Place area. So that's where the money, where the funding came from. It's not on the tax rate. That's money that would never have gone on the tax rate. It's just some fortuitously we had some cash that we were able to support it with. So that's great. So when you go back to Middlefield, you know, people don't need to be worrying that they're paying, you know, paying on an ongoing basis. Thank you both very much indeed.
Cheers.
And congratulations on having done such a
thank
wonderful
you.
Job. Great, thank you. And I'm looking forward to breaking the bottle of champagne.
It'll be easy. That's it. Concrete's easy.
I'll bring my helmet.
And some poor kid cut his dog on the
ground. Mayor Clark's broken glass.
That was a record show.
Are there any petitions to be tabled? Hearing none. The next item on the agenda, item 5, public questions or comments. Is there any member of the public who has questions? Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Robertson, and I'm sure we all return those greetings and hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Joe.
Good morning, Mayor Clark and Councilman Staff. David Dagley, I'm at One Lane Liverpool. I have a question of you today, Mayor Clark. This spring and summer, there was some concern that Privateer Days committee may not wish to continue, and we haven't heard anything in the public since that point in time. And I'm wondering if perhaps you could give us a quick update from your perspective for the region as to where Privateer Days would be standing for 2016.
David, I haven't had anything officially, and maybe some other members of council have, but I do know that I was at a director's meeting for the Chamber of Commerce the other day. Kevin Page was there, and we were kidding Kevin about having re-offered again, he and Brown. I understand it's under the same leadership, so it's certainly an assured thing for this coming year. We will be supportive as usual, but it's great news that we have that same leadership again. They've done such a great job in recent years. But I don't have anything official, and I'm sorry Brown's not here to fill in for it. But so. Councillor Cox.
Yes, Mayor Clark, members of council. I would like to also wish members of council and staff a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This is an exciting agenda that we have today to deal with. Starting with the skateboard park is certainly a high to know that this facility is nearing the stage that it will be a benefit to our community. And as I look down through the agenda for 13.0 to receive that, we are going to get some more housing which will be available to seniors who continue to exit our community, and that also a vacant property in Milton will be revitalized if the planning is approved. And that will certainly help with the commercial tax rate in that area. I'd like to take a minute to comment on the New Year's levy, if I may. As you will note, we have asked for, or the Legion has asked for, a slight increase in the amount. The first levy was in 2001. And we're looking forward to 2016, so you can see it has had a very good tenure. When I negotiated with then Mayor Lee in regard to this, three members of the existing council were here, and the agreement was that the region would fund 50% of the cost of the levy, and we, after a number of years in the Legion, found that we couldn't go it alone. We found that this many years later, the contribution from the Legion is still at the original amount, but the cost of the ingredients that goes into the chowder, which is the main draw, is going up. Now, I don't wish to begrudge the fishermen of our community this increase, because they've worked very hard over many years to try and get this price up, but it does put additional pressure on the region, who are finding that our workers are getting older and people who can contribute are getting fewer. But we do wish to maintain our connections with the community, and the levy, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, has certainly been a good drawing card to bring the various members of the community together. In the original levy, we broke 100 after some late people came in that weren't even aware that it was happening. So last year, from trying to calculate how many had snuck in the back door, because people go down the hallway to avoid the receiving line and come in the lower end and don't sign the book. The ones that we see, we take the book to them so that we don't belabor them as far as working off the chatter that they have consumed. However, by our best guesstimate, we had 260 persons last year, which is a remarkable increase from the original 100 that we had 15 years ago. This also puts pressure on the cost. So we are asking council to be generous in this holiday season and to approve a slight increase in the amount of the request, and we hope to see you, Mr. Mayor, and members of council, and as many staff as possible at the levy on New Year's Day. Thank you.
I'm really disappointed in that, Mr. Cox. You had said that the drawing, that the charter was the attraction. I thought it was the opportunity to meet council and the executive of the Legion that you brought people in. You shattered my dreams. It's we'll see what we can do when we come to that point in the agenda. But thank you, and thank you for your Christmas and holiday greetings. We hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday. I am now down on item 6.1. I would ask for approval of the minutes of the public hearing on December the 8th. Moved by Councillor Waterman, seconded by Councillor Fisk. Maybe it should be the other way around because it's Councillor Fisk's district. All in favor of the motion? It's unanimous, and thank you. And approval of the minutes of the council meeting of the same date. Councillor Inglis is there, Deputy Mayor Norman seconding. All in favor? It's unanimous again, and thank you. I'd now like Kelly Ann to come forward. And this is done by Councillor McLeod.
I shall make the motion. Begin the debate. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality declare the property located at 24 Great Hill Road, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality cause an order to be served upon the owners of the property located at 24 Great Hill Road, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia, requiring that within 7 days of the date of the service of the order, the following work be carried out. Clean up all household garbage, boxes of miscellaneous items, cardboard, plastics, and appliances, and construction and demolition materials, and trim or whippersnip around proximity of the dwelling. And that if the owners fail to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out, and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owners.
And it's been seconded by Councillor Inglis. Thank you. Who actually nearly seconded halfway through. We only got half a motion there. Can you add, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
24 Great Hill Road, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7008-2540. The assessed owners, Gordon S. Lowe and Vivian E. Lowe, both deceased. This property is a standard parcel of land bearing only one dwelling. The property has been on my roster on and off for approximately 5 years or more. I have ordered several formal exterior cleanups of this property through previous tenant Violet LeBlanc and family, in which they complied several times. Mrs. LeBlanc is now deceased, and the one remaining family member, Ross Jr. LeBlanc, is slowly moving all contents from the noted dwelling and is about to fully relocate to Court Street in Liverpool. After many conversations and recommendations to Mr. LeBlanc, compliance for a full exterior cleanup still proved negative. Mr. LeBlanc's failing health is the reason for non-compliance apparently at this time. Due to Ross LeBlanc's relocation, this will render the dwelling and or property fully vacant. Property owners Gordon S. Lowe and Vivian E. Lowe are both deceased. A full exterior cleanup of the property noted as 24 Great Hill Road requires immediate attention. Thus, my 7-day recommendation for cleanup to complete all and clean up all household garbage, cardboard, boxes of miscellaneous items, plastics, appliances, and construction and demolition materials, and to trim and whippersnip weeds and grass in proximity of the dwelling in order to bring the property up to what is considered to be neighborhood standard. My hope is to completely clean up the property on or before the holidays and, of course, before any snowfall. Thank you.
Discussion on the motion. Question? No questions? Okay. All in favor? It's unanimous and thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Job, Kellyanne.
Thank you. Thank you.
The pictures tell a thousand words there. So.
Certainly do. Merry Christmas to all
Merry
of you.
Merry Christmas, Kellyanne.
Merry Christmas to all of you.
Deputy Mayor Norman, do you have anything under economic development?
No, we do not at this time, Mr. Mayor.
We should perhaps just comment on the really successful
Mersey
Christmas on the Mersey, the parade, Christmas on the Mersey, that whole weekend, where I think that Liverpool and the area was full of people, and it went right through the weekend. I understand from Brian that they had over 300 tickets sold for house tours.
Wow.
The Kiwanis concert at the end of the weekend was chock-a-block. A great effort, and a great event to go into the holiday.
Mr. Mayor, do we ever do a quick on-foot survey after something like that and ask the merchants if their cash register sank?
Jill, can you answer that? I know that we're around, but...
Certainly that's the plan going forward with the event framework that was approved by council last week. We will be doing that for the future, but certainly something we could do this year as well. We have the capacity to do that.
Anecdotally, I think there are people around and they're in the store. You know, you don't get many people in the stores when you're doing the tree lighting, but the fact that there's so many people around during the weekend, you and Oscar was the other day, he was a happy man, I know. I talked to Sandra, she's been happy, other stores. So I think, yes, it's being felt in the community, and which is great. And obviously, the better they do, the longer, you know, the more people, the more stores will come to our community. Any questions on economic development or any items anybody would like to raise? Corporate services, item 9, Councillor Fisk.
I recommend that the Regent of Queens Municipality approve sponsorship in the amount of $600 for the Legion New Year's Eve levy, and that this be funded from the general government agency.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councilor Waterman seconding. And do you have any comments, Jennifer?
No,
it's a 20% increase, I see.
Yeah, Bill, actually at the Bill Cox at the last meeting, had provided us the list of the costs. So you can see for yourself how the costs have gone up over the years. So it's true, it was always a $500 donation that we had given them, and that was a number of years ago. So it's fitting to increase it a bit now. And it wasn't anything I had budgeted for. I may look at this closer to the 700 range next year when I can fit it in the budget, but where it was unknown, I went to the 600 on this recommendation.
Councilor Inglis.
And that makes great sense, Jen, and I was pleased to see that you were able to find $100, because of course it would have been a $500 line item, but we appreciate Mr. Cox providing us with an exhaustive list of ingredients.
Yeah.
Now I know how to make his chowder.
And we might have got exhaustive comments next time if we did.
That's right. So we'll, hopefully next year we can get closer to that 50% split, but I'm glad that we're able to pony up and give Mr. Cox his money, and I have money for my cheese for him today as well, so he's sure to leave happy.
Good.
Pending the outcome of this vote.
Anybody else comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you, and thanks, Jim.
Great.
Anything under engineering and works? Peter, anything that you have?
Elder isn't getting ready for winter. Don't think it's going to come.
The only thing I can add, chatting to Brad yesterday, they are well underway in cutting out the extension to the trestle trail in Pine Grove. He wants me to go down and look at it, which I'm not going to do weather like this, but it's getting to that point. I have walked it where he had it flagged. So they're cutting it out. They're cutting it out quite wide, so there's a lot of light coming in for plantings. I've had a meeting with the couple of magnolia guys. I'm going to bring them down the next time when I get a chance, and we'll go from there. So that's underway. Finance, Councillor Inglis.
All clear under finance, sir.
All clear. That means we've got lots of money, is it?
No.
The back row.
Recreation and community facilities.
Sadly, our
councilor he is not here, but we have the vice chair.
Nothing new at this time.
Nothing new again? Okay, thank you. That brings us to planning. Councillor McLeod, you have a couple of items.
I do, and I'm pleased to have the two items on the agenda this morning because they are signs of growth and much needed services in Milton area for a convenience store. I will make a motion first. 13.1. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to rezone PID numbers 7026816 and 7002-1712 from restricted residential R1 to multiple unit residential R3, and that a hearing be held on January the 12th, 2016 in the Council Chambers of the Municipal Building 249 White Point Road in Liverpool at 8:45 a.m.
Second for that motion, Councillor Inglis. Mike?
Yeah, the two properties in question are located on the corner of Waterloo Street and College Street. There used to be a dwelling on the property which was torn down several years ago and has subsequently changed hands. The new owners of the property are desirous of placing a triplex unit on the property. The properties are currently zoned as restricted residential R1 under the land use bylaw, and to allow for the triplex dwelling, it would require the rezoning to the multiple unit residential R3. There is in your package a sketch of what the applicant is looking at as far as the development, which will be facing on to Waterloo Street. I think it's their intent to rent these units. I don't think necessarily to seniors, but the type of development that they're looking at certainly would be suitable for that. So I think it's an application that's filling a need within our community for rental units. So.
Discussion. Anybody have any guests?
Just going to say that Kevin and Sherry are both people I know from my district, and they're good people, and the sketch that they show fits with the design of the type of housing that's in that area. It's sort of a lot of 70-ish style. So even though it is a rental unit, it will look much like the style is there, and I know the area residents are looking forward to something there, so good plan.
Any other comment, Councilor McLeod?
And I'm very pleased to have this application before us because it does, it fits right in with our housing needs and it's in a great area. It's near the centrally located in town as well, near the schools and so on. So it's really good to have this. These people make an investment in our community.
Councilor Inglis.
I'm sort of echoing Susan, so I don't know why I'm bothering to speak, but when I first ran for council, that was one of the big issues, is housing. We've always heard it. And I think this past year or so, and Mike maybe could correct my timing, but or even over the last 2 to 3 years, we're really starting to see some initiatives that way that are going to meet different needs. And I think it's good to see people ready to invest their dollars here at home. So I'll support this going to the public hearing.
Yes, Councilor Fisk.
Triplex, you got two versions of this?
Going across the water.
No, that's the definition of triplex.
well, sample.
Yeah, and I guess that's that counselor is definition of what constitutes.
Is this a diagram?
It's side by side units as opposed to multiple levels.
Okay.
Yeah, the last page in the package gives
yeah, thank you.
Any further discussion? If not, I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. And 13-2, Councilor McLeod.
Yes, 13-2. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to rezone a portion of PID number 7007-6625 from general residential to neighborhood commercial C3, and that a public hearing be held on January the 12th, 2016 in the Council Chambers of the Municipal Building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, immediately following another public hearing, which is scheduled for 8:45 a.m.
Seconded by Councilor Fancy. Discussion. I had a question and I raised it and I talked to Mike about it. I noticed that the application is not signed by the applicant, but rather signed by someone else, and Mike assured me that he has a letter of authorization to cover that particular point, which we will make sure it goes in the minutes so that it's clean. Discussion. Any further discussion on it? Yes, Councilor Fancy.
Yes, I've talked with the applicants and it's, again, the something has been missing up in Milton for a while with the closure of the corner store there and by the bridge, and now this will be another corner store, but something that will be more. He's looking into getting a meat shop, maybe even mailing some letters and things, which hopefully will take some of the strain off over in Liverpool with the post office, because he's trying to go through that section too. So it's something that's very much needed in our area, especially for an older area that needs a local spot to go to.
Okay, any further discussion? They tell me those corner stores and all those little stores in Milton are quite lucrative for this. Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to make a comment that previously the building was occupied by a business, and so the residents in the area are used to having a little bit of extra traffic on the roads and that sort of thing. So they really would welcome something like this to be added to their neighborhood.
Certainly for many, many years. I think most people are familiar with the Hat's Meat Shop, operated from that location for many, many years. The property has been vacant the last several years. The new owner of the property, which the mayor has alluded to, does not live in the area. He actually lives out west. He's entered into discussions with another individual to lease the property for the commercial neighborhood convenience store for what's being proposed. So the applicant or the business owner is the one that's actually made application because of the location of the property owner. So we do have confirmation from the property owner to have this individual act on his behalf in the rezoning process.
Councilor Waterman.
Adequate parking.
Yes.
It's right opposite the graveyard too, isn't
yep.
it? So there's only
yep.
only one
that's right.
residence on one side of the street.
There.
I wouldn't think it's. Are you ready for the question?
My question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Queen's Place Amira Center, item 14. Steve, would you come forward?
Morning. Go ahead. Okay, so in front of you have the updated forecast for this month, and at this time, still forecasting to be in the range of approximately $12,000 over the planned debt at this point. You know, the forecasting exercise, I believe, we began in September in actually forecasting out and bringing each month. And you know, looking at the challenges that we do presently have and are working on with facility maintenance, and the trending out to the end of the year, I am going to stick to that $12,000 mark at this point. Some of the lines are moving up, some of the lines are moving down, but I have no reason to change it at this point.
Discussion. Councilor Fitz, Deputy Mayor Norman.
The power I see has increased a lot.
In November, the bill that came back in from November, which would have been mid-October through to mid-November, that was significantly higher. And this was the time we actually had brought in the folks to do the assessment and the training. And there were some changes that were being made to the system at that time. And so that's the culmination of those. Now, going forward, it's expected by the second week of January, we'll have pretty much eliminated that first list of repair that that needed to be done. Just to make another point with that, David Kelly and myself, we met with Richard and Brad and Adam. We had a great session here last week and sat down and went through everything. So to tap on the expertise, you know, of the region, and we're confident that we are solving issues. One issue in particular has been going on for years, probably 4 years, and we solved that one last week.
One more question. Maintenance has increased.
Maintenance? Facility maintenance?
Facility maintenance.
Yes, facility, power, facility maintenance, and equipment are all interrelated.
All interrelated.
They're all interrelated. Okay. One affects the other, so to speak.
Thank you.
Did we pick up much from the Sledge hockey tournament where there are going to be no ice down there?
Approximately 10 hours we'll
That's
pick
it?
Up. That's it. And just to know, you were asked, you know, the question was asked on the public skate reduction in price, if that was going to fuel extra activity. Well, if you took October and November on its own, the difference is $100 less in revenue, but 30% increase in skaters. Still, you're looking at average public skate of an average skate of 17, 18 folks. And then on a parent and taught, you're looking at 4 or 5. And on an adult skate, you're looking at 2 or 3 folks.
Do we know where the misplaced skaters from LCLC went? Because when we had curling, mm-hmm. our misplaced skaters went to other facilities?
The exactly where they went, I can't tell you, but certainly their priority will be to move people into the Lunenburg Arena, I'm sure. So there's a lot, you know, many of the users that would use, you know, LCLC, the high-level users, if there was displacement, they would first have to look here because of the facility, but only 10 hours.
Councilor Fancy?
There's a few things I'd like to just mention here, is that with the salaries, of course, there's been a part-time replacing a full-time position, which is just trying to make some savings. The you've got to look at the age of the facility and the age of the equipment, so you're starting to reach some lifespans on certain equipment that will actually run into cost now that's going to just a natural thing of age that will come into the play. But also too, with Brad and Adam coming over and the look and getting Ross in this firm to look at ways of being able to look at some equipment that isn't working properly, I think we're going to see some savings in power and such as in the future.
At least the stabilization.
I looked at the numbers and I'm really discouraged. I can only do simple arithmetic. So I took the projected expenses and deducted from it the projected revenue, which showed me a projected deficit of $592,838. That is up from $561,000 last year. We are now two-thirds of the way through the year, so we have an opportunity to do a lot of work in the last third. but we can't afford to have this deficit continue to escalate. It's a big jump. It's $31,838 over last year's deficit, if those numbers continue. And I know they're projections. But since they are projections, we do have an opportunity to remediate it somehow. And that's the challenge. And it's a challenge we've got to meet. Yes, Councillor Inglis.
To that point, I do take some solace in the fact that under current leadership, we're attempting to address where those deficiencies are, and I know that's a, that's driving the deficit this year, you know, that we're doing work that hopefully on the operational basis is going to serve us well in the years to come. Am I fair on saying that, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah. So I certainly hope that that bears fruit. You know, you build a building like that and it ends up with its, certainly with its warts that need to be addressed, and I hope that this year has done that. The other thing, you know, the other step taken this year is that we put on our big boy pants and went out and took a risk on a major event, and that actually helped drive our bottom line. And we're now giving the manager the ability to strike out and do that again. And I hope that that does it. But I think really it's the community's facility. And as a whole, we've got to all dig in and find ways to drive revenue over there. So it's,
that's the key, driving the revenue.
Driving the revenue. Usage. I mean, the expenses, you know, we get into the, you know, the deficiencies, I guess. And we've got really bright engineers. So we got really dumb engineers. We do. We have great engineers. And then they bring in the experts and work with Steve. And it costs us a bunch of money. That's so hard to control. You know, those lines, we'll work as hard as we can to control them. But what we really have a community ability to do is drive that revenue. You know, that's the line item we have the most control over. We can't control if a machine breaks down, unless we're negligent with it.
Right.
But we can certainly be champions, every one of us, for that facility, and continue to find uses for it. And I think that also, and I'm just rambling now, but you know, on the fitness side, I think that the staff there have really rallied to be creative, to find ways to get uptake over there, you know, constantly refining the packages that are available. And, you know, I think we're on the right track, but, you know, we can't just wait and expect that staff magically will drive those revenues up. We have to, as a community, buy in to finding new uses for the building that bring dollars in the door. And there are things that are, you know, we cheer, by example, the Blue Rodeo concert. That drove our bottom line a little bit. It drove the community's bottom line a lot. So we have to take solace in that, but we have to continue to find ways to drive revenue.
We've got to find ways to control that deficit. It's otherwise, we'll be cutting out programs elsewhere. Yeah. I mean, the only two ways you handle this is you
drive revenue, cut expenses, or cut something else.
Or cut something else, or raise the tax rate. And that's the only source of revenue in the final analysis. Deputy Mayor Norman?
$150,000 off of revenue membership, you know, off of fitness, I think is a good thing, you know, that much money is being spent for that. But I also, and I've always wondered the cost of keeping that ice in there for 12 months of the year. And I've always asked, I wanted, you know, to see the numbers, to show why it's important, because it so restricts the ability for using that for a month in July or August or whatever to say it's empty. Anyone want to organize a whatever, because it's a big detriment for anybody, you know, and we build it and it's just restricted to nothing but ice. That whole huge part is just ice, and you know, we're running machines to keep ice all summer, and
this and that, and the place is just a graveyard in the summer over there. It's dead all through the day. And I've said, you know, do we advertise it that it's a place for the touring public to stop, to walk their dog, to have a break, to go to, or whatever. But summers are a big time when we don't get a lot of revenue out of that place. And how do we push monies to be made in the summers? You know, how do we push more people to skate? Years ago I said, you know, why don't we have skates? Why don't we have skates over there so people who don't have skates can have skates? Oh, a thousand reasons why we couldn't do that. LCLC sure got skates. It'd be interesting to see if that encourages people to skate. You know, once upon a time, people learned to skate on outdoor ponds and stuff. Our weather doesn't allow that anymore. There's a lot of people that when schools go skating, there's a lot of kids who don't skate anymore. But yet, if they don't skate because you don't have backyard ponds and they don't have skates, so then how can they go to public skating if they don't have skates? Because skates are cheap. You know, there's little things. Brian's talked about helping, you know, the music people. You know, why don't we get the music people in and talk about what we can do? We got that great big foyer that sits empty all the time. That was built, and I voted to build that big, pretty foyer because I was told it would be a place where we could do art entertainment, where we could have music on weekends. We could do all sorts of stuff. You know, we built that big community room so the community could use it. The rent is atrocious to rent that community room. We have so much stuff there that just isn't going the way those of us who voted to build that place. So I think there is ways that that place could make money. We need to consult the community. We need to say, why don't you use our community room? Why don't you use that room? It's got a big kitchen. Why aren't you using it? You know, why don't we have things on the weekends? Why aren't we using that big foyer for groups to set up and whatever? It's a lot of dead space. And we need to get the public in that space, not just for fitness classes and not just to go skating. We build it for a whole bunch of other things. And I don't know how we can do it because it didn't work with the Queen's Place Committee. And last year's deficit was way over what it was supposed to be. And this year is projected to be even more, you know. And now we've got people wanting a swimming pool, you know. We've got to figure out. And skateboarding, great thing. They raised their money, put it in there. Maybe that would bring a young crowd in. But somehow we have to get every nickel we can get. We've got to get it out of there.
You want revenue positive.
Activity positive.
Yeah. Revenue positive.
And I see Councillor Fancy is trying to get in. I'm about to, I was about to look at him in any case and say, you're the chair of the committee. I understand that the committee has decided not to meet because it was regurgitating information that was being given to council. I would urge you to call a committee meeting. Would you make sure that I'm available? I don't know what your agenda will be, but it be as diverse as you need it to be to help to try and address some of the challenges. Deputy Mayor's identified. I've just talked on numbers. Councillor Frelick quite often speaks. There's a whole host of things. Obviously, there must be ways that we can do it better, and perhaps your committee can grab that, and please make sure I'm available for that meeting.
And definitely not against what we're trying to do here, because that's what Councillor Norman has brought up a lot of good points. That doesn't mean that I agree with all of her points, because there might be some things that I think we've got to go in different directions, but there has to be a change in direction, and we all understand that. We've got to have more money coming in up in the community room. How can we do that? How we've got to look at how we give out the hours to communities during the month, which people will use just the hours and won't use any more. So how do we look at we can be able to do those type of things? How do we look at we have to look at the ice in the summer. Is that a possibility? All these things are things that need to be done and looked at. I think it has to go back first to the committee. Again, I don't want to see, as we kind of look at trying to say we need a big community. We can't get a great big large group together. That just owns, that's all chaos. You got to start from somewhere and then bring them in. I'm a firm believer in subcommittees to be able to work. Start from here, but have the process going, not just talk about it here. See where we're going to go to.
Councillor McLeod and then Councillor Fisk.
We've often discussed also the fact that when we look at the dollars, we look at the expenses and the revenues, and we look at the way it's, these are so condensed in information that we're getting, that we should have an accounting system whereby we can take each one of those line items and compare it to revenue coming in, the expenses, and whether it's, and I'm just using, I'll use canteen as an example. I mean, we operate the canteen. We have no idea what it costs us or if we're making any money from the operation of the canteen, or could that be gone out to a private person to do? I mean, these are all these things that we should look at. But we have to have the information that we can digest and look at in order to know where our losses and where our gains are.
It's a fine line between interfering with staff's roles.
I understand that.
And us being able to help from an overview point of view. So your point's taken, but we shouldn't be trying to micromanage this.
No,
but
I understand
we do need
that.
To change the
I understand that, but
yeah.
But in order to make decisions, you have to have some information at your fingertips.
Councillor Fisk.
I just wanted to refresh your minds that Steve Burns took this time and brought the Blue Rodeo in very success. No, very success. I've got to say that because that's a big, that was a huge, huge project, and it worked out. And he, so what I'm saying here is we're not all perfect. But Steve, you've done a hell of a good job.
No, I just want to make a comment. You know, I hear about, hey, you know, we got to take the ice out. Okay, well, you know, what's the potential revenue from that to cover those power bills and other things? I've seen what season one looked like. Canteen, is it a profitable venture? Probably not. Well, it's not. But it's a service. It's a service supplied so that you maintain the Junior B team, the Western Hurricanes, the Blades, etc. It's open when you want it open. You go independent, might be open, might not, because any independent person is going to want to make money. There's a rare, and this is based on history from the files that I've seen, a very rare case that those canteens will make positive revenue. Those are in your biggest centers, you know, could be a Yarmouth or a Halifax metro market. You know, we talk about events. Well, we're not using this and we're not doing that. In the new last year, after the Christmas season, we had a number of small musical events up in the community room. There are musical events on tap and being organized to do that. Those are very small revenue positive things. We're not going to sell alcohol at every one of them. Some of them are family oriented. We need, you know, a promoter. Promoter, you know, could come in and rent the venue and take the risk. Well, you took the risk and you brought a concert and it was successful. That does not mean the next one will pay as much in dividend or be as successful. And it was successful because of the community sponsorship that was behind it. Those days are drying up. So, you know, we need revenue positive things. And we can, you know, choose to give things away and reduce prices and those types of things to increase access. And that's great. And we should increase access. But where's the revenue positive? You know, you're talking about, oh, we're creeping on to 600. So, we want to reduce that.
Councilor Frank?
First, my apologies for being late. The second part is that last week we had a meeting with Councilor Wei Mason from Halifax. And it was an amazing meeting, and he talked about all the opportunities and it has to be our desire to open ourselves up to think differently. And I think we're in that situation with the town hall, we're in that situation with Queen's Place, where we have to think about things very differently. And, you know, the farmer's market, which was a request that was denied, has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. because they feel it should be there. But they just had two, you know, great weekends where with a lot of people coming through the doors at the Legion, which is great for the Legion. But if we're looking for it to be inclusive of the region, then there's an opportunity. So there's lots of things, and when you get that group of people together, I think you just have to really think outside the box and think about things that we may never think about, but just open your minds up to all this stuff, because it's out there. And the funding is out there if people are interested enough. They are not interested in funding events that are hand-picked sometimes, so it's a challenge, but I think you're up for it. So.
You know, in regards to the farm market, you know, Councillor Norman was certainly involved in that discussion.
Well, I didn't want to belabor this. We've got a problem.
Yeah.
And the problem is creeping numbers, mm-hmm. underutilization. And so we've had 3 years experience as a council in running it. It had run for a year before we got here. So we've got some experience to draw from. And again, I will turn to Councillor Fancy as the chair of that committee and suggest that we have a meeting much sooner rather than later to talk about how we might throw this thing open to ideas, to ways to control the costs, the controlling of the cost, the expenditure side, it's really a staff function. But let's leave it there and take that ball, and it's a huge ball, and see what we can do. We've got a third of this year left to try and bring things in line, and it's usually the most lucrative part of the year, I think, with hockey and everything in the hockey season. So. Okay, are there any other questions? Or
just one more, Mayor. One thing we also have to look at, then, the surrounding area, the spin-off, the dollars that come into this community, we have to consider that too. And I think that since the Queen's place has been in place, that spin-off has been just tremendously high. Especially with the mill down, I think we've had people come into this community and spend their money. So, and I think that's a lot to do with Queen's Place.
You're dead right, and we can't belittle that. It's been a huge driver. We always acknowledge that. But still, we have this issue of creeping costs and underutilization. And those have got to be addressed. Yes, Councilor Waterman.
I think half the problem is just recognizing that we do have a problem, and so we will be on the mend, hopefully. Be on the fix, but I do believe in letting staff do their job, but with the subcommittee to help and throw some ideas, maybe, you know, we can creep it the other way, hopefully, and at the same time put on some more events.
Okay.
Richard, there.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate it. I want to sit back and listen to this conversation. In January, staff will be coming back to council with our first update strategic priorities to move forward. Notionally, this was an area that I had identified we needed to pay some attention. The comments from council are well received, and we will arrange for a committee meeting with the Queen's Place committee, and we will be definitely bringing something forward in our strategic priorities around this matter. So just wanted to note that.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Steve. I'm in item 15.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Interesting to note the economic activity that's going on under the building inspector's report. And we might perhaps in the new year do a bit more analysis as the building season dries up a bit. There's a huge amount of activity in your district, Deputy Mayor.
Of course. It's coastal.
Exactly. So that's all encouraging. So thank you. Does anybody have anything else that they'd like to raise under item other? If not, I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor Fisk, if there's anybody seconding that. Councillor Frelick, would you second the motion, please?
Second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor of going in camera? Thank you. We're out of camera. Now, we're going back to item 17.1, and I would entertain a motion. I'm not sure who's going to do this, but Brown, okay.
I so recommend that the Region of Queens waive Policy 9 with respect to the request for Heather Cook to participate in the Nova Scotia Provincial Volunteer Awards Selection Committee.
Seconded by Councillor Fisk. All in favor?
Thumbs up.
It's unanimous. Thanks. That completes the agenda. We are adjourned. I have something I want